Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up. And I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the 15th day of September. Man, halfway September's about gone. Man, it's just going by fast. 15th day of December, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 60 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson. And we got a looking at a high of 68 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And we had frost this morning. We had a frost warning. It was down to 32 degrees. It was cold. Fall has arrived. And we know what's behind fall. And I don't even want to think about it, let alone talk about it. That being said, let's see what we're going to jump into it with here today. Trump extends post 9/11 state of emergency. Nah, he wouldn't do that. He's for the Constitution. He's for the people. Anyway, we're going to figure out what the hell's going on here as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, Trump extends post 9/11 state of emergency. Of course he did. You know, if you've been watching the mainstream idiot box, you see that, you know, some of this stinky shit that we're pushing up from the roots here is starting to get to smelling in Trump's nose, and they're having a hard time of it with this, you know, this amnesty for the, you know, pointing out the fact that he is a liar. That, I mean, and basically, it's bait and switch. That's, you know, described under the racketeering laws, a bait and switch. You know, you offer something and then they come to pick it up, you get something different. And I think they just thought they could just, you know, Trump, well, I have compassion. You know, these young children, one of them could be mine. You know, kind of horse shit. After, the promise was, on day one, DACA will end. And then the other promise was every one of them, everyone, that's every illegal alien, had to leave. And then we're building a wall. And then we'll have a door to see who else comes back in, remember? And see, the bottom line is the push is so hard from the bottom down here in the trenches and the rest of the people across this nation that they're having to address this shit. And, you know, surprisingly, was it a surprise? It wasn't a surprise. Kim Jong-un, ping pong ball. He started firing missiles again. Oh, my goodness. Turn the TV over to ping pong ball. Don't talk about Trump and his lies. Don't talk about the fact that the people are calling him on his lies right from the goddamn roots of this country. Trump extends post-9/11 state of emergency. Well, of course he did. Let's look at this. This is from Anti-War. It was sent in by JSTP4 discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Temporary. And that word, what a word to be using in these politics of today. Temporary state of emergency seems increasingly permanent. Haven't they all? I mean, we have the War Powers Act that, has removed our common law courts and our common law jurisdiction, our Bill of Rights from we the people, our will from we the people, our authority from we the people. And that was a temporary thing. See, we got to do this temporary thing. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. But I'll tell you what, the Constitution in its writing and then the forbidding of the ninth article, there cannot be you can't declare a state of emergency, you son of a bitch. It's not in the cards. It's not in the authority granted, okay? President Trump has become the third president over the course of 16 consecutive years. And I was thinking the other day when on 9/11, the way they were pushing, had that 9/11 thing out there, they'd remove Building 7, the condemning Building 7. And then, the Pentagon, they'd been played by that real fast, not mentioning that the 757 would make there'd be parts of a plane around a little bit, where a plane crashed into a building if it was a 757 instead of a cruise missile. But I was I was thinking, man, they're really playing this up in a different way this year. And this is why, because it's time for President Trump has become the third president over a course of 16 consecutive years to extend the temporary state of national emergency, which was imposed in the wake of 9/11 terror attacks 16 years ago, people. And temporary. Just like the War Powers Act, all this other grabs of unconstitutional and goddamn violation of the people's authority, grabs for power. The state of emergency gives the president considerable leeway to bypass legal limit. Now, see, what are we talking about here? Isn't this kind of like the DACA and all the rest, just bypassing the law? Legal limits, that would be the law. Let's read this correctly. Considerable leeway to bypass the law surrounding the military. And the use of National Guard and reserve troops. Exactly how much this power is used is in itself unclear. Listen to this. You wonder what's wrong here, people? As presidents have for years ignored a legal requirement, ignored the law requirement to offer reports to Congress every 6 months on the matter. And Congress has obviously let it go. So they must be a part of this breaking of the law. Officially, President Bush, Obama, and now Trump have defended the extension on the grounds that terrorism still exists and that it is a thing. Yeah, right there should be enough to hang him. It's a thing. You took our rights and declared war on a thing. How about we declare war on a thing called tyranny? Legally speaking, however, the emergency declaration was intended to give the president flexibility until Congress had time to act after 9/11. Show me there was no such power granted in the Congress. And as this usurpation that we're witnessing here with these presidents Bush, Obama, and now Trump, like attacking countries like Libya and destroying them, utterly destroying them without any declaration of war. Iraq, utterly destroyed without any declaration of war through these War Powers Act. And this, what it really comes down to, is this is an extension of the War Powers Act that has removed our common law from us. That was over 16 years ago, and the temporary, quote, state of national emergency. I'm telling you, people, this is how they've been running their police state under the guise of it's an emergency. We have to do this to protect you. We're gonna have to take you all out in the ditch and put a bullet through your head. Well, to protect you. Well, to protect the government, because we've got the two confused. The people and the government aren't the same thing, and the government has to come first, and the people, well, they have to go over to the ditch. Appears to neither be a real emergency anymore, nor if we're being honest, anything resembling temporary. It's just become a permanent extension of presidential power, ungranted power from the people, unlawful, usurpation, insurrection, name it. States of emergency are not uncommon in the U.S. Oh, no, God, everything's a state of emergency when they can take your rights away from you and put you under martial law. More than 30 current states, that's more than 30 current states of national emergency remain in effect. And Congress has never once reviewed one of them, and they're not going to. It's like the War Powers Act. That removed our goddamn, our Bill of Rights, people. Oh, of course, the Congress, man, you can trust them. The ones that are getting ready to give your country away to these illegals. You can trust them to make sure that the executive isn't grasping power and removing the people's rights and putting them under a condition of servitude. Of course you can. President Trump has extended every single emergency which would expire so far since he came to power. And the first one was that War Powers Act, just like we told you. 10 minutes after he was inaugurated under the free flag of peace, he went over and signed the papers to put us into a continuing state of martial law with our courts removed and our rights removed, just like we told you, people. And I hear people, I mean, on the broadcast previous to this, on Hammering the New World Order, Spike had a young gentleman up. And if I had more time, I would have come up on the radio. There's some things he likes about Trump. I'm going to tell you something, young man. I hope you're listening. If not, I hope Spike gets this to you. If you support Donald Trump, you are supporting an illegal dictator. He signed War Powers Acts that remove your rights and remove your courts and remove your will to prosecute your life. He is a traitor. As soon as he put pen to paper, he was a traitor. And you support him in any way. You support this occupation in any way. I'm sorry, but you're a traitor by definition of the English language. U.S. Senate votes against amendment to stop endless war in Iraq and Afghanistan. Say it ain't so. Now, why would they want to keep these wars? Oh, that's right, because they're every one of them's owned by a contractor. They were put there in place by contractors who want to eat out our substance and make sure that we live lives of drudgery while they're spending the wealth of our nation destroying other nations and giving their wealth over to the Jews. This was from RT. It's sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. The U.S. Senate has voted 61-36 to kill an amendment proposed by Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, which would repeal the 2001 and 2002 authorizations for use of military force in Afghanistan and Iraq. Here, this just plays right into it. Old dictator, same as the new dictator, same as the old dictator, right? I mean, anybody that's trying to say that anything has gone different since, I mean, what like Keystone sure went through pretty damn quick. The pipelines and everything, you know, getting our goddamn resources exported out of this country faster, our raw resources exported out of this country faster. Boy, that stuff is moving right along and turning our infrastructure over to foreigners, man. That's happening now.
And hey, Henry.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's David Rock.
Hey, brother. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. Something interesting I've noticed on my trip is in the South, every, well, at least Arkansas, Tennessee, and Mississippi have Black Lives Matter radio programs, like in the 88 spectrum of the radio dial. And I even called into one of them. Actually screwed the guy up pretty bad because he was like, I don't know what to call this gentleman. I don't know if he's an anarchist or a liberal or a conservative. He was kind of hitting on all points. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And also every state that I've traveled through, there's been a dominating Mexican force, like a Spanish-speaking force on the AM dial. Almost the majority of the stations are Mexican. So just a couple of interesting points. Or a couple of interesting things I want to point out.
Outstanding, yeah. I know what you're talking about. A lot of them are high-powered AMs. And, I mean, I don't know if you're on the AM or FM dial, but a lot of it's being pumped out of Mexico or right down there in the occupied territories in the south. So where you at today, David?
I'm in South Haven, Mississippi, which I actually like a lot. I first went through Memphis, Tennessee to get here because I cut through Arkansas. And Memphis reminded me of Rochester, New York. It's just totally run down. There's lots of people walking around with nothing to do, looking like they're looking for something to steal. Well, you just cross right over the border into Mississippi, into South Haven, and it's green and clean, and everybody's polite and bending over backwards to, like, tell you where to go and what to do. And I randomly stopped off at a vape shop, and the owner of the vape shop is actually a trencher. He actually goes to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, so that was really cool. Got to chat with them for a couple hours.
Really?
I'm having a really good time. And my next step is I'm going to drive down through Jackson, the capital city, and then head down to the golf area, to a golf port in the surrounding areas. And then when I head back, I'm going to actually take I-10 and drive through Houston and see what I can see on my way back. I avoided it on the way up here. I figured I'll give it some time for them to clear everything out.
Wow. I know I'm going to miss a new Oy Vey Friday today. When are you going to be back, brother?
I'm thinking Monday evening. So
Tuesday.
Maybe, okay. I might have to throw up another broadcast. I apologize to the listeners for not being there to do that, but I'm taking this trip for prospecting for buying houses. I wanted to see if I liked the state or not, and I wanted to leave Arizona and move here. And so far, so good. I really, really like it.
I'll tell you, there's nothing more enlightening than a good road trip.
I agree. I mean, there's Oregon, you know, with what's going on here with that Kate Brown, that skunk, that freak or whatever in the hell it is, you know, you'd think that the whole state has just turned to shit. But are there places you can go, like, I mean, out to John Day, out where all this kind of shit happened, out by Burns, places like that, you go and the people, I mean, it's like a different people. They haven't been exposed to the rot, I guess, of the Californians yet. But, yeah, I mean, Mississippi, you and I had talked about this, or we conversed about it over the Internet. And, I was thinking that Idaho has carry anytime, anywhere laws, too. Did you realize that, David?
Yes. I think the only stipulation is you have to be a resident, but yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's worth checking out. I don't like the cold. And then my ultimate goal is I want to grow chicken, pork, and beef. So the more grass I can grow, the longer the growing season is, the more I can potentially, or the less outside feed I'll need.
Well, Mississippi definitely is a beautiful state, and I mean, you could do worse. I don't know about the rest of their laws, or, you know, who runs the state, what cabal is running the state, or, you know, I don't know.
I've already seen the Freemason halls, and there's probably more churches than I've ever seen in my whole life. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Davey, you know, he's right. See, I'm from down that way, but I live in Oklahoma now. But I'm from Alabama, and he's right. You know, the thing about it is, you know, black people have been so brainwashed to think that white people are their enemies down there, and they have no idea that, you know, the government, you know, are their enemies, you know. And he's right, man. It is so, it is so divisive down there, especially with black people. I mean, he's telling the truth. And, you know, every time I go home, you know, I haven't heard what he heard about the Black Lives Radio, but I'm glad that he said that, because when I go home for Christmas, I'm going to check it out when I go home. And he's right, like in the upper part, Mississippi, you know what I'm saying, that Haven part is very nice coming through Memphis, because that's the way I go when I go home back to Alabama. But, yeah, man, he is so right, man. He is so right. And the thing about it is they haven't been taught. You know what I'm saying? They haven't been taught the truth about nothing. The other thing they've been taught about is just, we was in slavery. We was in slavery. They haven't been taught that, you know, there were black slave owners. They haven't been taught what the Confederate, what they was really fighting for. They haven't been taught about none of that. So I'm so glad he pointed that out. I'm so glad that he did say that, because the bottom line is now I can see that when I go home. And, you know, as I go home, I get more divisive with my people, because they can't see the light. But I don't give a damn what they can't see, because they can't see the truth. You've been blinded and been indoctrinated your whole life by lies. I just cut them apart, man. So he's right.
Yeah, I understand.
I saw a big difference between being in Memphis and being in South Haven. The Memphis seemed like there was a lot more division, but when you get into South Haven, everybody seems to be cool with everybody. At least that's my first impression. So.
Well, you know,
the
bottom.
Where do you think you're
going to settle, Dave? I didn't hear what y'all were saying. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the South has that you know, the South, I mean, it is getting better because every time I go back home, I do see people, you know what I'm saying, interacting a little bit better. But it has that stigma from, you know what I'm saying, from the, you know, from the 1800s, from the Civil War. It has all that indoctrination about, you know, black folk who were slaves and, you know what I'm saying, we had to fight for civil rights. Don't understand that civil rights are nothing but slavery rights that you're getting from the government. See, none of that is in talk. You know what I'm saying? Before I woke up, I sort of had that little mindset too. But when I woke up, you know what I'm saying, all that junk right there went away, and I started seeing, you know, I started seeing the light in what things really were. You know, so a lot of people down there are brainwashed, man, because just the part of the country, what they're in and what they're exposed to. So they are still brainwashed, and they think white people are their enemies, and which they don't understand. It's just more poor white people as they are than... Yep. Then probably even more. You know what I'm saying? So they just don't get it.
Exactly.
New York had the same problem. There was just as much, if not more, division in New York. So just to give you a little perspective, it's not just the South. And then I'll yield back. I don't want to take over your show.
Oh, no. It's good.
Henry.
Somebody was wanting to ask you a question, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, this is Mark. Dave, you're just – South Haven is like just 50 or 100 miles south of Memphis. I mean – have you gone down farther into Mississippi? Mississippi is a beautiful state. Have you gone any farther south?
No, I've probably been about 25 miles, 30 miles south of the border, but I intend on going through Jackson and then right on down to the Gulf before I come back.
Okay.
Which area I want to move to.
Okay, but, you know, you got to think real long and hard about what you're talking about. You're talking about animals. I've talked to a lot of people in Mississippi that have farms, man, and their big problem is being too close to other people because the other people start complaining, and then you got all kinds of problems. So, when you pick a spot, man, do your homework and make sure that you're not going to have problems later on down the road because animals create smell and that pisses people off. You're not going to have that many of them, I don't think, but it is a problem.
The system I'm going to do is free ranging on single strands of electric wire and moving the paddocks constantly so there won't ever be enough time to get enough feces in one spot to get a smell. So it's a different type of farming. It's not the standard type of farming. It's more of a pasture, controlled pasture thing.
There you go.
David, Well, one second. Somebody else has been trying to get in there. Go ahead.
Dave, what did you think of Tennessee?
It looks just, Memphis looks just like Rochester, New York. Beautiful old homes built by European people that are absolutely falling apart due to neglect. Downtown looked a little rundown. I didn't get a chance to go to Beale Street and see that whole thing. It just so much reminds me of my home city that I would not want to live there because of that.
Well, I wouldn't give you a dime for Memphis, but what did you think in between Nashville and Memphis?
Well, I haven't gone that way. I came over through Arkansas, and then I crossed over Mississippi, and then I headed down over Mississippi River, and then I headed down into Mississippi. So I didn't get a chance to view any of that. I'm sure it's gorgeous. I mean, I've seen pictures.
Okay, I just wanted your opinion on Tennessee. That's where I live. All right, you guys. Okay. Carry on.
Well, thank you, sir.
David.
Yes.
If you come down to Houston, this is Charlie Walker. Maybe Henry can give you my number or something. And I'm trying to do the same thing. I know some other people that are raising hogs and chickens.
Would you like to email me?
Yeah.
It's davidmatthewrock@gmail.com. Again, that's davidmatthewrock@gmail.com, and that's common spelling of everything, and that's ROCK, davidmatthewrock@gmail.com. Just go ahead and email me, and then I'll give you a call.
Okay, I'll do that right now. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey, Dave, buy baby cows, man. Let them grow. You'll make a killing. Don't buy them big. Buy them small. You know, let them grow. You'll make a lot of money, buddy. It's a good business.
I want to know where my food comes from, and I want to get the skills. It's one thing to buy a whole bunch of stuff and put it on the shelf. It's another thing to actually start producing and getting the skills, and that's why I was promoting that on my show, that we need to switch over from being consumers to being producers. That's what's going to empower us again. That's what our grandfathers and great-grandfathers did. They were producers.
Absolutely correct. All righty, then. Well, David, that's what happens when you call home. Everybody wants to talk to you.
I'm glad to talk to everybody. I miss being on this program, and I miss putting out the information and adding to the website. But just be patient, everybody. I'll be back.
All righty, then.
I'm proud to be contributing to the trenches.
We're proud to have you, and you have a safe journey, brother.
Well, thank you, sir.
All righty, then. That was cool, David, coming. I haven't talked to him myself in days. I was wondering, I was thinking today I was going to try to email him or something and see how he was doing, but I guess he'll be back on Tuesday, and next Friday we'll have a real Oy Vey Friday. That being said, we were talking about the endless wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the vote was 36. The United States Senate voted 61-36 to kill the amendment proposed by Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, which would repeal the 2001-2002 authorization for military use in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, 16 years, people. This is the longest war in the history of this nation. We're supposed to be number one, but I mean, well, we're going to go on into this because it's more than just Afghanistan and, well, I think we're at war with about, it's what, six, seven countries? The Senate can't repeal the AUMF without replacing it with a new authorization, said Senator John McCain, representative of the industrial war complex, eating out the substance of our country. It would mean that we would immediately need to start winding down U.S. forces abroad, said Senator Bob Corker, Republican Tennessee. What a terrible thought. You mean bring all of our occupation forces home? Bring and stop spending the wealth of our nation conquering other nations for Israel? We can't have that. Who also opposed Paul's amendment? Paul had vowed to delay the passage of the $700 billion National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, if he didn't get a vote on repealing the AUMF. Well, I mean, what needs to be done? Well, I don't know. I mean, what needs to be done here is a war, you know, an uprising in this country to take this country back and reinstate the Bill of Rights as our goddamn law, people. We have been there for 16 years. It's time for the wars to end. It's time for Congress to vote on whether or not they should end, Paul said on Monday. The Kentucky Republican noted that his protest was for the soldiers, adding that hypocrites are happy to pretend concern over our constitutional duty to declare war, but are happy to block any vote on ending any of our seven current wars. Seven wars we're in, people. But this is an empire building. Donald Trump isn't the president of the world. A number of Democrats joined the Republican majority in sidelining Paul's amendment. Well, of course they did, because they all work for the same people that Donald Trump works for, the Israelis. This is conquest for Zion. They believe they own the whole planet, and we're going to secure it for them. To fight the Islamic State, IS, a number of Democrats, okay, we did. To fight the Islamic State, IS, formerly ISIS, formerly ISIL, terrorist group, the Trump administration relies on authorization for the use of military force that was approved by Congress in 2001, shortly after the 9/11 attacks. And again, this is why, this has to be, the lie has to be celebrated every year, and especially celebrated on years when there's appropriations coming up. The measure was specifically designed to give the president powers to go after those nations, in quotation marks, organizations or persons to determine, or he determines, planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001. This is what the legislation reads. Or harbored such organizations or persons in order to prevent the further acts of international terrorism against the United States by such nations, organizations, or persons. Last month, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Defense Secretary Jim Mattis told lawmakers the 2001 authorization provides sufficient authority to wage war against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. I'll tell you what, people, we're getting into this again. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them that refuse it are few. I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
dumb down our kids. MK Ultra. AIDS and SIDS. Chemtrail clouds. GMO foods. You call that health care? Can't even say good. It's your rights that I fight for. Together we will not have to run. Your house, your spouse, protect against wherever they're from. Foreign and domestic are the two types of venomous scum. In short, I won't shoot you if you don't come for my gun. I'll heard history, Grandpa. There's one thing that he knew for sure. Don't piss off a grizzly bear that's sleeping. He said, don't come for my gun. I won't have to do it.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches from on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1240 Pacific Time, and that was Thurman Ostley with Don't Come for Nothing That Belongs to Me. And there's just one little last part is I wanted to hit on this U.S. Senate vote, and that was we just read last month's Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Defense Secretary Jim Mattis told lawmakers the 2001 authorization provides sufficient authority to wage war against the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. Critics argue it's a legal stretch. Oh, here we are with the law and everything again. A legal stretch at best, as the Islamic State group did not exist 16 years ago, and that the U.S. now uses legislation to carry out military operations in Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Libya, and other countries. So, again, there's no such thing as a temporary grab of power by an occupying force. Retiring appeals court judge admits that he couldn't care less about the Constitution, and none of them ever could. It has nothing to do with, well, it was the constraint that was supposed to keep them from ever being in our lives, so I guess they wouldn't care much about it. This is from Moon Battery. It was sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. An independent judiciary helps protect us from tyranny, but it works. It's supposed to keep the government from exceeding its powers, but the independent judiciary within that 10-mile square box that it's a citadel that is a military installation. But out here in our world, what protects us from tyranny is our common law and our Second Article right to put down tyranny. But it works better when judges take their job seriously, unlike recently retired federal appeals court judge Richard Posner. I pay very little attention to legal rules, statutes, constitutional provisions, Posner told the New York Times in an interview published Monday. When confronting a case with some form of legal obstacle in the way, the former Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals judge said he would look to circumvent whatever prevented him from reaching his desired result. A dictator from the bench? When you have a Supreme Court case or something similar, you know, like the three Supreme Court cases that say that you cannot tax income, they're often extremely easy to get around, Posner said. And this is what you've been living under, people. When judges make law instead of interpreting law in the light of the Constitution, they do not defend us from tyrants, but rather become the tyrants themselves. And these judges have no... You know, it's the apples and oranges of the whole situation. They're not even supposed to be involved in anything that involves us. They're supposed to be separate and apart from us. So even when you have somebody come out like this Moon Batteries, piece here, they don't have a clue. No more than the kid that was talking on Spike's program. They do not see the simple fact of occupation, I guess is all you could say. Posner decided to finally retire at age 78 because he had lost interest in the cases he arbitrarily decides. He recently began to wonder, why didn't I quit 10 years ago? He was appointed in 1981. He should have quit 36 years ago. Imagine if a surgeon, having announced his retirement, proclaimed that he had been performing his job while drunk. You might wonder if he got away with it. How many more like him are still on the job, every goddamn one of them? They're not operating under any law. I mean, they're operating under the law of the sea, the merchant law. He's a goddamn captain of the ship. He can do anything he wants. Ravens fans will get DNA test kits Sunday in unusual NFL promotion. And this is from Baltimore Sun. It was sent in by Joe from Mass Private Eye. For discussion, I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. Gone are the days when sports team giveaways were limited to T-shirts, bobbleheads, free sandwiches, coupons, and the like. The Ravens on Sunday are adopting a unique approach. The tens of thousands of fans entering M&T Bank Stadium for the NFL team's home opener against the Cleveland Browns will receive free DNA test kits. And boy, go do it, people. Fans who choose to participate can learn about their genetic makeup, says Orig Threen, whatever that is. It's O-R-I-G 3, the number 3-N, in the letter N. The Boston-based biotech firm sponsoring the event. The procedure begins when fans swab the inside of their cheek, drop the sample into a stadium bin, and register with the company online. The shit company is offering for free a test for genes. This includes the ACTN3 gene, which the firm says can yield information on whether a person is likely to have enhanced performance in power and sprint activities or is considered normal. Also being tested is a gene the company says can help predict an increased risk of low levels of vitamin D. From the test, fans can learn if they are generally predisposed to have difficulty metabolizing vitamin D. Well, man, this is written poorly, said Kate Blanchard, whatever the thing is, Orgen Threes, I don't know. Chief Operating Officer and Founder, the company offers more extensive tests for up to $149. All DNA test results are encrypted and sent via smartphone app. The company said, we use stringent security standards to ensure all our information is protected. You mean like all the rating companies, all of the people's social security numbers and all the shit that got out through that? And I'm telling you what they're doing with their DNA. They're patenting it, people. This is to patent the DNA. And once they own the DNA, I reckon they own you outright, don't they? Because only the patent holder can make money off of a patent. St. Louis braces for protests after acquittal for ex-cop. This is from Yahoo News. It was sent in by Jim. For discussion, I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. A Missouri judge on Friday found a white former St. Louis police officer not guilty of murder in the shooting death of a black man. And I did this white-black thing. I mean, anytime they report on this shit, when they do make a report on it, this happens every day, and it's white, sometimes blacks killing whites, whites killing black. The color of the skin ain't got a goddamn thing to do with it, as Dion was pointing out earlier. It's got to do with you're them or us. You're a part of the ruling class, or you're a part of the goyim. You're a part of the goyim that has to be controlled. And to be controlled, we got to kill some of you every once in a while to set an example. The National Guard was placed on standby by Missouri Governor Eric Greitens, with officials fearing the verdict could set off violent protests in similar incidents involving police and minorities around the United States in recent years. And this is the bullshit of it all. I mean, when they kill somebody, it don't matter what color you are. Kelly Thomas was white. James Boyd was white. And they were murdered just outrageously right in front of a camera. And everybody got to see it, and everybody got to see the killers walk. Go ahead.
Perception management.
Oh, buddy. St. Louis and state officials were braced for violent protests and racial tensions similar to those followed the 2014 fatal shooting by police of unarmed black teenager Michael Brown. And the worst example, I mean, if you wanted to put somebody out there, Marion Curry, she was a woman in a car with a baby in the back. They chased her down until she ran into a dumpster, walked up to her car with a little baby in the back, and bam, bam, killed her dead. But they always got to put this thug, Michael Brown, out front. Michael Brown, he been murdered. Hands up. Don't shoot my ass. Just committed strong-armed robbery at a store and came out on the streets and attacked the cop. But this is why they want to put this example. Because when you make it black against white, you couldn't put this like not a citizen, but a national being killed by a occupational police force. This has to be about black and white because that's what they want this war to be. They want us to kill each other on account of the color of our skin.
Henry, did you see that video on YouTube about Michael Brown, what he did? He actually went and he beat up an old senior citizen, yeah, black guy, and just beat him down and stole his money. And now we're supposed to sit there and believe that, you know, hands up? Come on, man.
This is why they put it out there. See, this outrages both sides. See, this is outrages the blacks because they say that this unarmed black man was shot. And it outrages the white people because they say this goddamn guy was a goddamn thug, and now those blacks are jumping up because of a thug. Like I said, if the blacks wanted to get pissed about somebody black getting killed, well, there is, what the hell was his name?
He sold the cigarettes.
The guy selling the cigarettes. I think he's mentioned in this article. Eric Garner. Selling cigarettes. Now, that man, I watched him be murdered. And the color of the skin ain't got nothing to do with it. You had a man just standing there. They came up and they killed him. Just like Kelly Thomas. Just like James Boyd. Marion Curry, man, she was just a scared woman. She pulled into something that wasn't supposed to be there. That was something they put up just that day. A roadblock and stuff. She just freaked out and wanted to get the hell away from there. She had a baby. They murdered her ass, and then they cheered about it in Congress. But you won't hear. That's the one you will not hear about it, because they all stood up in that Congress. Black, white, old, young, elitist class sons of bitches, and they cheered the death of that woman, shot to death with her little baby in the back seat. So you won't hear about that. You know, it's got to be Michael Brown, because, if they were screaming about Marion Curry, I'd be like, yeah, goddamn right. But when Michael Brown, I said, screw that son of a bitch, he was a thug. I don't really give a shit. I might have shot him. At any rate, back into the article.
Don't forget about Wayne Martin at Waco, black lawyer.
And don't forget about Lavoie Finnegan. You talk about murder. All those people were acquitted. So that man was absolutely murdered on the side of the road trying to talk to a sheriff. They want to play these games with us where you just pick this little vent here and you get mad about that and get mad at the black people. And black people, you get mad at the white people. You guys hurry up, kill each other before y'all kill us. That's what it really is, people, in the final equation.
Perception management.
Oh, buddy. Exactly, man. Judge Timothy Wilson highly anticipated ruling was announced Friday, more than 5 weeks after the bench trial ended. What did I say? That the bench trial ended. And it's what you're seeing now. All of these cops are taking bench trial, then their judge buddy sitting on the bench is, not guilty. I can't find the guilt there. You see, this is where the common law would remedy the problem. Because the person making the complaint would demand a jury trial, and there's no such thing as a bench trial where, that's admiralty law again, administrative law, where the judge is going to make the decision. No such shit. It would be a jury that would have to decide, and it wouldn't be no judge that's already, he's one of the gangsters. Of course, he's going to turn the other gangsters loose. This court, as a trier of fact, right. We already know about how you try facts. We listened about what the other judge just said that stepped down off the bench trying facts. Is simply not firmly convinced of defendant's guilt, the judge wrote in his ruling. Wilson said prosecutors also asked the court to consider a lesser degree of homicide, but they did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Stockley's use of deadly force was not justified in self-defense. Now, if this had been a national. I don't like that word citizen because it implies slavery. This has been an American national who shot somebody in self-defense, even if it was a justified killing. They would have found, we're going to have to get you on manslaughter because, we can't put out the perception that the people can protect themselves against the thugs. Only the police get to shoot people and get away with it. In recent years, grand juries have declined to charge officers involved in shootings in the shooting of Brown and the choking death of Eric Garner. And I don't like those two paired together. It's apples and oranges. Michael Brown had just committed a strong arm robbery. Flea was just telling us about him, beating down this elderly man. He was a thug. Eric Garner was standing on the side of the street selling goddamn cigarettes. He wasn't bothering nobody. And they absolutely came up and choked the man to death, killed him. They're not the same people, and they try to reflect that back. I mean, everyone that happened after, they tried to reflect it back to Michael Brown. Michael Brown was a thug. He was a piece of shit. He needed killing. Okay? Now, again, you know, Eric Garner, 43, in New York. Now, for them to not hand out, I don't know. It's just like with James Boyd and with Kelly Thomas. How could you watch those videos and not say that's goddamn murder? If that ain't murder, then there ain't no such thing as murder. But again, you know, here it is, grand juries, and I already know, we know how the juries are put together right out of the lodges. They pick out 700 people and keep picking from them all their whole lives, and that's your grand jury, and they're right from the lodge, and the lodge is running the system and deciding who goes to jail and who doesn't, and who can shoot people and who can't. Baltimore police officers also were not convicted in the death of Freddie Gray, and they killed that man. I mean, he was a junkie, probably a drug dealer, but he was killed. He was denied his right to life without due process of the law. They put him in the back of a steel ambulance where he was handcuffed up and then just took and ripped around with it and slammed on the brakes until they killed him. But of course they can do that because, well, they're the enforcers of the ruling class. I mean, screw this race shit. It is them against us.
And the people that were driving that van I believe that they were black.
Exactly correct, man. But it's coming down to, you know, these are their corporate enforcers. This is their black booted thugs. This is their standing army in our streets. And they want them to be beaten down on us. They're trying to tighten. They've got the iron hand out of the velvet glove, and they're starting to pound on people. And they don't. I mean, if these cops get in trouble, if they get anything but a long paid vacation out of the deal, they'll stop killing people. And they do not want that. They want to keep it because the bottom line is they're the only thing standing between the people they're oppressing and themselves. Period. Is that thin blue line that's become a fat black line? Filled up with goddamn psychos on steroids.
Well, one thing I remember, when I got raided by SWAT down in Las Vegas, there was a cop, you know, and they were looking for my weapon. And, you know, I knew where it was, and I said, hey, you don't have the right to go and search in that area. I don't give you permission. You know what he told me? He said, we can do whatever we want.
Oh, hell yeah. I've been in a court of law where I stood up and from the spectator section, because I wouldn't even walk into past the bar because I knew better. And I told them, I go, that's a violation of the Constitution, in particular the Bill of Rights. And the judge, right in an open court with an audience and with a jury seated, said, we do not recognize the Constitution in this court. I mean, what else do you need to know? If it doesn't, I mean, it is complete arbitrary rule. It is, it's totalitarianism. If it ever existed, I mean, we can keep looking at this shit and try to make excuses for it, but that is totalitarianism.
Prima facie, right?
Absolutely, brother. Prosecutor Kimberly Gardner said in a statement she was disappointed with the verdict and believed she had presented proof that Stockley intended to kill Smith. However, in the case, it was the judge's duty to evaluate the evidence and deliver the findings. The judge, I mean, they're all a part of the same criminal cabal. I mean, Jesus, I mean, this is the nightmare that you always think of, you know, where they run the courts, they have the army, they have the police, and they're, you know, decided they're going to do your ass in. What's to stop them, people? Your common law is gone. Your buddy Trump out there, he made sure of that when he went and signed that War Powers Act to keep that a status quo, that you have no rights, that you're just walking around waiting to be a victim of them. However, in this case, it was the judge's duty to evaluate the evidence and deliver his findings, she said. And of course she did, because she's a part of the criminal cabal, too. That's how she eats, is by screwing people and by committing treason on a daily basis. That's how our system works, abso-goddamn-lutely. Smith tried to flee from Stockley on December 20th, 2011, following an alleged drug deal, authorities said. During the pursuit, Stockley could be heard saying on an internal police car radio he was going to kill Smith, the prosecutor said. That premeditation? Stockley, riding in the passenger seat of a patrol vehicle with his personal AK-47 in one hand and a department-issued weapon in the other, shot at Smith's car, according to St. Louis Circuit Attorney. I don't know what the hell, the first time I've ever heard of this. Circuit Attorney's Office Spokesman Susan Ryan, and the charging documents. At Stockley's direction, the driver of the police car slammed into Smith's vehicle, and they came to a stop. Court documents said Stockley then approached Smith's car and shot him five times with his service weapon. Stockley's lawyer said he fired in self-defense because he believed Smith was reaching for a gun, and they're scared. He feared for his life. But prosecutors said the only gun recovered from the scene had Stockley's DNA on it. Oh, one of those drop guns? You just go up and murder somebody, throw down a gun, that's it, you're free. Because who's going to investigate it? Oh, your buddy over there? Who's going to judge you? Oh, your buddy up there? Is that how it works? Anyways, guys, we've hit the top of the hour. We will be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFT. And until then, I'll say thanks to everybody for another week, and thanks to David for coming up and checking in and giving us a report from the road. And he should be back, I believe, on Tuesday. And that being said, that is The Word from the Trenches.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!